Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking to Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center this morning. Elizabeth McNally, the executive director, is here this morning. Elizabeth, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Good to be here.
For people who don't know, talk a little bit about Safe Harbor, because you are involved in working with law enforcement and social services and just many different groups, and just provide so much help to kids in this community and families.
Yes. So thank you. Safe Harbor is a child advocacy center. And what that means in a nutshell is that we provide a place and a process for children to talk about their experiences of abuse. So the place is a child-focused and child-friendly, safe location in Fredericksburg. And the process is a little bit of what you alluded to. We partner with now 6 local jurisdictions. Each of them have their sheriff's department or other law enforcement office, their Department of Social Services, and we partner with all of them. So they are the primary investigators of outcries of abuse. And what we do is we bring those investigators to the CAC so that they can observe forensic interviews of children. So we have trained individuals on my team who typically provide those forensic interviews. And that way, a child is talking to one person while the other investigative folks are watching through a closed-circuit TV. So the child's not re-traumatized by talking about what happened to them. And the investigators, are really able to get the information they need. The interviews are done in a neutral manner, and they're defensible in court. So, again, the primary purpose is to not re-traumatize the child by having them talk to a lot of different individuals about what happened to them. Once that initial service is complete, that's kind of the main service that we offer. Children often enter into therapy after that. So we also provide the therapy through partnership with the Community Services Board. So we're lucky enough to have a full-time therapist in our facility. So again, kids are more apt to participate in therapy when they can come back to a place and a location and people that they've already met before and feel trusted with. So forensic interviewing services, coordination of that team of individuals that are investigating, and therapy are sort of the core services that we offer, all free to children and their families.
Boy, and before the days of a Safe Harbor, everything that I'm sure the child was traumatized had to be, and just the whole court case would seem to be jeopardized just because you get different stories and all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's thank you for bringing that up. That's another sort of detriment of re-traumatizing children is bad enough.
Yeah.
But when they have to talk to multiple different people, those people are well-meaning. But when they have to talk to multiple different people, there's a much higher probability that they're going to potentially misstate facts or their credibility can be damaged by having to tell that story again and again, their experience. So the fact that before CACs, it was not unusual for kids to have to talk to anywhere between 10 and 12 people over the course of their case, which can be multiple years. But just imagine, having to tell what happened to you that many times. It's also possible that kids can start to lose faith in the system, too, when they have to keep retelling what happens to them.
Right, because they don't understand.
Right.
And that's a huge thing.
Yeah. So it's just not ideal on many levels. and so thankfully CACs came into being, and Safe Harbor's been around since 2008. And in that time we've seen nearly 4,000 kids come through our doors and have delivered services to them and put them on that path to justice and healing.
I would think law enforcement especially, but all the groups that you mentioned who you work with have to be happy having a CAC, because ultimately there's justice for the child.
Yes. Yeah. We I think it's fair to say that all of our partners, especially law enforcement and DSS, are grateful. Their cases are stronger. You know, by the fact that they have a CAC to access, and then the kids can get the services that they need, and they're not re-traumatized. So yes, not every case that comes through the CAC goes to prosecution, but the cases that do are made much stronger. And mm-hmm. in communities where a CAC exists, there is a higher rate of successful prosecution of child sex abuse case or crime cases. Our partners are grateful for us, and we're grateful for them.
What was it? Was it April? Was the pinwheel?
The pinwheel planting. Yeah.
And I was over there for that. And what really struck me was just the wide range of people that came.
Yes.
From so many different agencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were just so enthusiastic about the work that you all do.
Yeah. They were fantastic. I know the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office was there. A big group of folks from Spots, maybe the whole child victims unit was there, and folks from DSS in the city of Fredericksburg. Yeah, I think we had, I want to say we had about 25 to 30 people there.
There was, and I didn't know many of them. It wasn't like it was just, you know, the sheriffs or, these were all people, I think, that deal with you closely on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
I don't know that I knew anybody besides you, but they all were, like I say, were just so enthusiastic about the work that Safe Harbor does.
Our multidisciplinary teams are far reaching. So a multidisciplinary team in our world is made up of law enforcement, Department of Social Services, mental health, forensic nurses, and they come from Mary Washington Healthcare. The CAC mm-hmm. folks, obviously, all of those people make up a multidisciplinary team, and we have six that we formally work with. And when you add up all the members of those teams, I mean, you're talking, I think at last count of somewhere between 85 to 90 people, all investigators, all whose job is to work with kids who've been abused. So we have far reaching through our MDTs into the community, and they're all very supportive of what we do.
And I know the offices that you have, just the whole setup is very kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not some sterile place like you see in movies when people are questioned. It's,
right.
it's because you're dealing with kids and wanting them to feel safe and willing to talk.
Right. We want the CAC to feel like a home. We want them to feel comfortable. We want the caregivers to feel comfortable. We want the investigators to be able to do their job in the most comfortable mm-hmm. setting. So we place high emphasis on making sure that the kids have everything that they need there, that everything is geared towards them. Everything from making sure that, you know, we have kids who are as young as 2 and 3 years old coming to us. So we make sure that the bathroom is equipped with the little stairs. They might still be potty training, you know, the little stairs to get to the toilet easily. The forensic interview room is decorated in a neutral kind of way, but it's welcoming to kids. We have lots of toys. We have kits that we give to kids when they come, what we call coping kits. So when a child is finished with their forensic interview and all the services have been wrapped up for that day, if they would like one, we send them with a coping kit, which has little activities and things that they can do to help them feel calm and safe. So everything that we do is really geared towards making sure that they feel safe and comfortable and that they want to come back, especially if they're going to be engaging in therapy. And then the other high emphasis that we have is making sure that our MDTs have the highest and best equipment available. So our recording equipment, interviews are recorded. Our recording equipment is high quality. We just want to make sure that our teams have the best quality equipment that they can have to make sure that interview is really recorded well and that they have it for their records.
And when you talk about, you know, as young as 1 and 2 years old, all that we're talking about, these are just horrific things that we don't get into the real details.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just awful stuff.
Yes. And I mean, when people hear me say that, you know, we have kids who are really young, maybe still potty training.
Yeah.
We also serve children who may not be able to talk in a forensic interview. I mean, they're too young.
Yeah.
But the reason we're able to do that is because through the partnership with Mary Washington, we have a medical exam room on site. So it's possible that sometimes children need to come in to be seen by a medical professional. They're not there to be in a forensic interview. But we still wrap them, wrap services around mm-hmm. them as well. And so, yes, we've had kids as young as infancy come in to be seen by a medical professional, and they can avoid having to go to the emergency room.
I was going to say, it's another example of just a sterile kind of place.
And just a system that can be hard to navigate. So we can kind of protect them from having to enter some of those systems by delivering just medical services to those really young children. So we serve anywhere from 0 all the way up to 18. Mm. Yeah. So it's a big span.
Yeah. And in all cases, and I guess at all hours. And I mean, this can happen, or someone may need your services at any time.
Yes. And our teams all have access to our CAC outside of normal business hours.
Yeah.
So they can utilize the CAC. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, you know, we were involved over the weekend in you know, taking a referral and making sure that child's needs are going to be met as soon as possible. So, available all the time because it happens.
But you know, it's not a 9-to-5
right.
Oh, kind of thing. Yeah. No. So safeharborva.org is the website, safeharborva.org. And there's information there on how you or a business can get involved.
Yes.
And there are a number of ways. And we'll get into some fundraisers that there have been. But there are ways that the community can get involved with Safe Harbor.
Yes, absolutely. And our website is a great place to – and we'll talk more about that. Yes,
we will. We'll get into that and talk about some things that have happened. Because the golf tournament was recently.
The golf tournament was April 29th at the Fredericksburg Country Club, and it was very successful. Raised a good amount of money. And again, our teams, our MDTs, had some presence there. We like them to be able to play in the tournament when they can and get out of the office for a day.
Right.
So it was wonderful, and the community was very supportive of that event.
So we'll get into all that and talk about ways that the people can get involved as we go along this morning. Elizabeth McNally here with Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Elizabeth McNally here this morning from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. The web address, safeharborva.org, and there's also a Facebook page. And we'll get into how to get involved with Safe Harbor financially in just a little bit. One of the things, Elizabeth, that we had been talking about for a few months, there was great concern towards, I guess, the end of last year and early part of this year about federal funding was going to be cut.
Yeah.
Really significantly, because I remember I got a mailing at home from Safe Harbor.
Yes.
That usually, I mean, I usually don't see, I looked at the numbers and I contacted someone on the board and said, is this for real?
Is this for real? Yeah.
And the answer and then I heard from you was, yes, it was, but that, and you were hopeful that between the state and federal governments that they would look at this and
Yes.
come to some resolution, because it was like a huge, it was just a huge amount they were talking about cutting.
It was 65% of our largest, this pot of money that I was referring to was our largest source of funding, and it was threatened to the tune of 65%, which really would have decimated our budget.
Right.
It would have meant, you know, impacting services. And so fortunately, through lots of advocacy that our board engaged in and I engaged in, and this problem was also going to apply to other CACs around Virginia, not just Safe Harbor.
Yeah.
So there was advocacy with our state chapter, lots of visits to legislators over the course of the past, actually really between February and May. The state budget that was passed recently resolved the issue for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
So we were very, very thankful that the state government stepped in and provided those funds for us to offset. The federal funds are still not, there's still not resolution there. So these state funds will carry us through the next 2 years, but we're still working on trying to resolve the issue federally.
Yeah.
So thank goodness, yes, because I mean it would have meant that kids would not have been served.
Mm. And after we laid it out and talked about how important it is to the community, for the kids, for the families to lose that would just be tragic. And especially when you look at government spending anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it was really kind of unimaginable.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that didn't come to fruition. I'm glad that we're still here. I want to make sure people understand that the funding that was restored took us back to basically level. And so we still need support from
yes.
the community in yeah. order to continue to expand our services and enhance our services. So we're very grateful that the funding was restored, but we do still need more support from the community.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure the number of people that you have that do the exams and do what they do, you probably could use a whole lot more. I mean, this is a growing area,
yes.
and unfortunately, these cases, it's not as though these cases are few and far between, unfortunately.
Right. We would like to expand in the not-so-distant future in a couple of different ways, and having more forensic interviewers or more individuals who can provide forensic interviews is one expansion area. We also would love to bring in more therapy providers because the therapist that we have right now is at her max capacity, and we have more kids that need therapy.
Right.
And we offer a specialized type of therapy that it's not that you can't get it somewhere else, but we offer it for free. So we'd love to be able to bring in more individuals to provide therapy to make sure that need is met.
And I think that's one of the areas that I never have thought about until you and I started doing these shows more frequently. It was mm-hmm. always in my mind, will you help when you do the interviews and you know right after the incident? It's the therapy part. And I know those are the stories, I mean, that you get really excited about and that are real to be able to see a person through and,
yes.
and get them the help that they need.
Yeah. We are privileged to be in a position to have those relationships with kids where we can observe their behavior and their functioning when they first come to us for that immediate service, that interview. And then when they do engage in therapy, we get to see that whole arc of their healing. And we remain involved with them through the life of their prosecution case. I mean, if mm-hmm. their case is being prosecuted, we do remain involved with them for the life of their case, even if they're not in therapy. So to be able to see a child go from, you know, coming into, you know, the forensic interview where they're scared, they don't make eye contact with anybody, they don't even really use their full voice.
Hmm.
Just all of the outward ways that you can see that a child has been traumatized and is struggling to the other end of that arc where they've engaged in therapy, they've had the support of an MDT, they've had a support of a caregiver, maybe their case has gone to prosecution successfully, and now they're thriving in school, they're thriving with their family relationships, they're confident, they know how to keep themselves safe.
Hmm.
They're much less likely to be the victim of abuse again if they get the help that we can provide.
Wow. There are so many things there that you just think that no child should ever have to worry about that and do right and do that. But it does happen. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about it, and just thinking about the people at the pinwheel ceremony that I didn't know, mm-hmm. but that you could just tell the care that they had. And I mean, we're real lucky in this area to have the people that we do and the positions that they're in.
Absolutely. All of the departments that all the sheriff's offices and the police departments and the DSS partners that we work with and our CSB partner, they're all so committed to making sure that kids get what they need and doing that in a best practice way, yeah. which is a CAC, partnering with a CAC. We're very fortunate. That's not true in all jurisdictions. There right. are jurisdictions where the local government or local investigators are not on board. And we're fortunate that that's not one of our jurisdictions.
Yeah.
We'd love to see down in the future every child in Virginia have easy access to a CAC. But it requires partnerships and it requires the will of investigators and law enforcement, DSS. And so those relationships have to be in place.
Yeah.
And we are fortunate that, yes.
That's a great point, though, that if they're not, or if they just take a, it's just, you know, we deal with that, you know, when it comes up, instead of being proactive and really wanting to grow a program and just because I know you have such a good relationship with all the, you know, the local law enforcement and all that, that is something that we shouldn't just assume everybody has.
Right. And when I say law enforcement, I mean, I'm also including, I don't think I've specifically mentioned, but the Commonwealth Attorney's offices are very important
yeah.
as well. I mean,
yes.
they're part of law enforcement, but they're also a separate kind of role on our MDT. And from the very beginning of, you know, when a new Commonwealth attorney is elected or someone is hired in that office, from the very beginning, we work with them on understanding what the CAC is about and really showing them what a CAC can do for them and their cases and the children that we all care so much about. And so, yes, those partnerships, there's maintaining a partnership with an MDT as a whole, but then maintaining partnerships with all the individuals on that MDT too.
Yeah, I never thought of that because in those offices, especially the elected offices, when there are changes.
Yes, it can be detrimental for CACs yeah. if newly elected folks. Oftentimes we find that in other jurisdictions that maybe they don't know about CACs and what CACs can do. And so it's education. But there are places where... And outside of Virginia as well, where the CAC model is just not as accepted. And we're fortunate that that's not the case here. We're very accepted and have great relationships
yeah.
with our MDTs. So we're very grateful for that.
Elizabeth McNally here this morning from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. You've had a couple of really nice fundraisers recently. You mentioned the golf tournament. There was tattoos over Memorial
yes.
Day weekend.
Yes. Yes, Jack Brown's Tattoo Revival selected us as the beneficiary of their Tattoos for Community. And so that was over Memorial Day weekend. And me and some members of my team spent a few hours there each day on the weekend and saw all the amazing people that were there to get tattoos. And Tanya and Chance are fantastic. They
yeah.
own and run. And we just did a check presentation and delivered a check of more than $22,000 to us.
Wow.
And there's still another chunk of funding that's coming. They also ran a t-shirt sale. They have a beautiful Tattoos for Community design that they put on a t-shirt. So the proceeds of the t-shirt sale are coming to us as well, which is still out there.
Yeah.
And then just on Saturday night, was it Saturday night? Yes. On Saturday night, I was down in Fredericksburg for Downtown Dolls.
That's right. That was just this past weekend.
Yes,
yeah.
They did. They selected us as the beneficiary of their annual pinup contest. So they had folks come out dressed in pinup kind of
yeah.
costume. And I was down there for a couple hours with them. It was at Billigan's Smokehouse. And so met lots of great people. had lots of interest from the community and to learn about what Safe Harbor is about. And we'll find out, you know, in a week or so kind of what that raised. But we definitely made a lot of connections in the community that night. And it was a fun event. It was really fun.
And that's where businesses, if you've got an idea, I'm sure if a business has an idea, come,
yes,
you know, come talk to you about it. Because those are ways to, we talk about expanding. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways you can do that by having events like this.
Yes. Jack Brown's selected us as their beneficiary like several years ago. So we kind of came up on the list again, which is awesome. Downtown Dolls has a lot of fundraisers for a lot of different nonprofits, but they've actually come out and supported Save Jane since it began. So that was how our connection with Downtown Dolls started. And I think each Save Jane, they've had at least two or three individuals from Downtown Dolls come and read names at the event. So yeah, like making those connections in the community with businesses and having these fundraisers is really important to us maintaining what we can do.
Now, when I have seen those on your Facebook page or other postings around town, I get excited just because it does. It gets you out into different areas and different groups. I mean, on a Saturday night in downtown Fredericksburg, you don't expect to hear about Safe Harbor.
No.
Which you can learn about.
Yes.
And that's the great thing about getting out there and getting your name out. And the same with the tattoos. I thought this is the, and I know from past years with when they've done that in the various nonprofits, people show up and that just to be able to provide money for various groups.
Yes. And they're both fantastic.
Yeah.
And we are so grateful that they selected us. And they through those two events, not only was there financial support, but they got us in front of community members who had never heard about us or knew. And the connections that you can make are amazing. So we're grateful, very grateful.
I'm always amazed at even with local governments at budget time, especially when there are new members of whether it's city council or board of supervisors. And various groups come up and people don't have knowledge of what you do. So
right, yes, we are fortunate to have been supported very well by the local governments again this year, and I have certainly gone out in the past to speak at those budget hearings that you're referring
to. Yeah, I've seen you many times.
Fortunately, I don't have to do it that often because we usually, knock on wood, we usually are awarded what we ask for, and so we find other ways to thank the boards of supervisors for supporting our efforts. But yeah, our focus really has been to get our name out there and get people more knowledgeable about what we do, because awareness has just brought more support to us.
So as an individual, or if you're a business or whatever you are, if you want to make a donation or you want to get involved and get other people involved, get a hold of, just go to safeharborva.org and you'll see a place to contact.
There's a place to there's a contact form, and then there's donate buttons on like every single page. So we try to make it easy to donate, but feel free to call us and talk to us. I'd be happy to talk to anybody about what ideas they might have for supporting.
It's a great website. I mean, as soon as you open it up, it pops right out there, giving voice, hope, and healing to children. And that says it. And then you give all kinds of examples of things you do, and it's a lot of good information. So check it out. And especially if you're a person who can make a donation, or you have a business that can, check out Safe Harbor.
Please do. Yes.
We'll take a quick break, one final break, and come back. And you had mentioned about Save Jane, and that will be again coming back this fall. It's a great event. We'll talk about it when we come back and wrap this up. Elizabeth McNally here, safeharborva.org. We'll conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center this morning. Elizabeth McNally with Safe Harbor here, safeharborva.org. You mentioned the Save Jane event that mm-hmm. will again be. You have set a date. It's an event that shows you just how widespread this all is.
Yes. Save Jane this year, this will be our fifth annual.
Oh, so this is 5 years. I can still remember the first time. I had never heard of it.
Uh-huh.
And you sat right where you're sitting and described the whole thing, and it was exactly what you said.
We've really been happy to be able to bring this event, not for the reasons that it needs to be brought, but right. we wanted to bring more awareness to Safe Harbor and the kids who we serve and who need our services. And so 5 years ago, we decided to shift gears a little bit. And so it is an awareness event. And what we do is we look at the total number of reports of child abuse that come into the jurisdictions that we partner with. And we also add in jurisdictions that we still provide services to as like a courtesy. It's a long story, but we add those numbers in as well because kids there get our services.
Yeah.
And so we look at that total number of reports, and typically it's been over 10,000 per year. So this is over the course of a year. And each one of those reports or that number represents one child. And so what we do is we invite the community to come and read a set of names. So we read all 10,000 names. Obviously, we're not reading actual children's names, so we use Jane Doe and John Doe in place. And we assign ages as well, which are reflective of the community that we serve. We ask the community to come out and read a set of names. It's typically about 125 names. It takes about 7 minutes or so. And we start at 10 at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, usually it takes until about 9 or 9:30 at night to read all of those names. And so it's a time to stop and reflect and understand that not only has abuse happened to these kids over the course of the year, but there are more out there that also reports are never made about some kids. And so it's just bringing awareness to the fact that this does happen. And this does happen in our community. And we've been very well supported by the community in bringing this event and have learned some amazing things from our community in running this event. And so we're proud to be bringing it again for the fifth year. And there are opportunities to sponsor the event. So we would love to have sponsors. I don't have exact details of sponsorships today. But we typically have a title sponsorship, which is anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. So the community is going to start hearing about that soon. And we'll be opening up our reader signups probably in August to start getting the list filled of readers. So we invite people to come out and read a set of names or two. It's easy to sign up. We also make it easy for folks to stay and kind of listen to other readers or talk with us. We always have an information table there as well. So we try to make it as inviting as we can for the community to come out and learn about what the needs are of kids.
Over the past few years, I know I've several law enforcement people that I've known, I've talked to, and they just say how meaningful it is for them for them to come.
Yes. We invite all of our MDT folks to come, and typically they come out in force.
Yeah.
All of our six jurisdictions typically come out, and then some of those jurisdictions that we do courtesy services even send investigators to come and read names. And so a lot of the folks that are reading names, I would say a third of them, are from our investigative teams. Yes, it's moving. They come out in force and they support the event. And we're very happy to have them there.
And especially when you deal with the younger ones, because like you say, all you're saying is John Doe, Jane Doe. But when you're saying, 1 or 6 months or something like that, a lot of times I'm sure that they in their mind or they're picturing cases they've been on or just the thought that you're saying that, and that's tied to a name. It is. It's very moving.
It is, and in the past, I don't know that we'll be able to arrange this year. But in the past, we have had we've partnered with our CSB to have a counselor there.
Yeah.
So if anybody wanted to kind of step to the side and just talk to somebody privately, because it is very moving to read these names and the stories behind. We're not reading the stories, but the investigators typically know what the stories are.
Yeah.
It's moving, and we want to support people in that process.
And that's going to be when again? October?
October 18th.
October 18th.
Yes.
Elizabeth Nally with the Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.